This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Live from ESPN Studios, the show is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn. We got Joe Fortenbaugh hanging out with us today. Bart Scott with the day off. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we got a football Friday. Joe, before we get to all the other stuff that's going on, everybody knows Joe, of course, from Daily Wager on ESPN. But you're going to hear Joe coming up here on ESPN Radio a lot more often than usual. Because let's all just, you know, again, a heartfelt congratulations to Joe Fortenbaugh and also Amber Wilson. They are part of the new lineup that'll start in January. Joe and Amber from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern. Joe, how you doing? Congrats.
Alan, first of all, it's always great to be on with you. Thank you so much for letting me ride shotgun today. Second, thank you for the congratulations. I look very much forward to the Canty and Carlin momentum spilling it to 7 p.m. so that I can take all those people with Amber Wilson and scare the hell out of them and run them off. That is exactly what is likely to happen, but we are going to try our best to not let that take place. But thank you again. I'm looking forward to getting back on radio full-time in January. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, it's awesome to see you. And when I say see you, it's awesome to see you without the mustache.
Oh, come on.
I got to be honest with you. I know some guys are trying to pull that off these days. As somebody that was a kid in the 70s and early 80s, anytime I saw a grown man with mustache like that, I always felt like there was something shady about him. Gotta admit, it was something about it, and my dad never had one. He tried to grow one time. My mother was like, this is not happening. Like, it was gone in no time. Wasn't going for it. So when I saw you with it, I was wondering, I'm like, well, he's out in Vegas. You know, like, is he getting into another business, if you know what I mean? I mean, you know, the mustache kind of suggests... You know, it has Dirk Diggler vibes to it, is all I'm saying. So I didn't know if you were getting into some other industry, but when I saw it gone, I thought, all right, either the industry didn't work out or your wife got to you and said, enough's enough.
Well, first off, allow me to thank you for thinking that I'd be capable of moving into an industry such as that.
Oh, come on. We've seen you on TV. You got a pretty face. It's all right. You could say it.
The mustache was more a result of apathy than anything else. I was on vacation in the summer. I hate shaving. I let it go for 2 weeks. I was eventually going out to dinner with my wife. I took a look in the mirror. I look gross. I can't grow a beard. I can't grow sideburns. The thing was disgusting. So I shaved it all but the stash because I wanted to get a joke in with the kids, and it just became a joke of its own. You know, take it on TV. It'll be funny. And one thing I realized... Yeah. And you and I don't know each other well, but I do count you as a friend, because with that mustache, there were two types of people. There were the people like you who told me how bad I looked, which I appreciate. And then there were the people who were clearly lying to me, telling me how good I looked, because they wanted me to go look like a fool, to look like a clown, to
they
look
like an
idiot.
They were not invested in your success.
Those people are up on my whiteboard, like in Billy Madison. They're up on the whiteboard. I got them circled.
Exactly. I just, you know, I meant to send you a text about it, but I thought... And again, you being a guy, Daily Wager, obviously in that line of work is, well, maybe you had it and, you know, which is kind of a hot streak. And you're like, well, I can't shave it now. You know, like hockey players, they grow the beard and you just grow it out until you lose. Like, I was wondering if maybe you just had a hot hand one night and said, I'm not shaving this thing. And you just kept riding it until you lost. So I'm guessing that had nothing to do with this.
It was literally the exact opposite. The moment I grew it in, I was losing everything. And then I said on Daily Wager that we're going to tie the mustache to my Survivor entry. When I get knocked out of Survivor, I'll shave the mustache. Okay. I got knocked out in week one with the Niners against the Bears. Yeah, and then after that, I went hot. So that mustache was no good on any level. Didn't look good. Didn't bet well. Nothing went my way with that thing.
So now everything's back to normal. That's all that matters to me. All right.
Nice and easy.
Good. Love to have you here, Joe. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. You can be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. It's the one fans deserve. All right, Joe, let's get into some Getting It Done brought to you by Granger. Now, the Bills got it done last night, 24-10. What was the line right before the game started?
3.5. Patriots were 3.5-point underdogs. Bills opened at around 5.5, so it was Patriot money throughout the week.
Okay, so clearly the Bills were going to be the better team here, but because it was, I'm guessing, it's at Foxborough, it's Belichick, it's a divisional game, like there's all the things that you wanted. It's almost like we want to draw you in on the Patriots to believe that they could win this game. And it just looked like a methodical win for Buffalo last night, Thursday Night Football. Again, we're in December football now. It's December 2nd. Last night, we begin December football, which is a big time of the NFL schedule. And it's a divisional game, and it's a very important one for both teams. But for the Patriots, after losing this game the way they did, and I felt like it was just a methodical takedown of this team. And you saw Mac Jones frustrated on the sidelines. We'll get to that in a moment. The Pats fall to 6-6, and with the loss, FPI has them now just a 13% chance to make the playoffs. And I know I'm sounding too excited as a Jets fan to talk about this, but just understand it's been a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking at it, and I can't have that objective take on what I saw in New England, because the two times I saw New England this season, they made a mockery of what the Jets thought they were having, the momentum of a Jets season, that both times they played the Patriots, it just felt like a same old Jets, I can't look anymore kind of thing. But the rest of the season for New England has really not had that same kind of typical Belichick, typical Patriots feel to it. So I go to people who pay closer attention to the Pats, that it's close to them. It means something special to them. And Taylor Twellman, who's our soccer expert at ESPN, he's also very close to the Kraft family. He loves the Patriots. He's very much in tune to what's going on in New England. And he was on Get Up to talk, of course, World Cup. But they kept him around to talk some NFL because he had something to say after last night's loss by New England. And it's something that when I heard it, I thought, wow. This is a strong take.
Gillette Stadium last night was dead. There was no energy whatsoever. There's no energy around the Patriots right now. And a lot of this comes off. And I understand, but when you watch, a lot of it comes off of Patricia and Judge. I get that. And Mac Jones isn't playing well. This team looks like something that Belichick has never done in his entire career. And yet when you tell the quarterback after his rookie year, where everyone on this network was telling me, he's the next best thing. He's coming off of Josh McDaniels. And you hand him Matt Patricia and Joe Judge and then tell the fan base, let's get excited for this. They are in purgatory with the direction they're going, and they have nowhere to go. They're not going anywhere. Season's over. Done. Bye. Gone.
Season's over. Done. Bye. Gone. Joe, they're 6-6. Season over?
Season over, because even if you somehow eke into the playoffs, it's probably a scenario like last year where you get the doors blown off you in the opening round, right? Like, this was a, quote, playoff team last year that lost by 40, I think it was, to the Bills in that first round. So 6-6, it doesn't matter what your FPI is. It doesn't matter what your schedule looks like the rest of the way out. You're not a competitive team. Whether you get in or not, you're not going to be competitive. We have enough evidence in front of us to understand what this team is now. If this was a month after Brady had left, or this was a month into this season, small sample sizes. You have to figure out whether or not you're seeing the true picture. Since Brady's gone, you know what this team is, including that one playoff game? They're 23-23. There's no more excuses. This season alone, they're 6-6. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, they haven't beaten anybody. They beat the Steelers. Congratulations. They beat the Lions. Congratulations. They beat the Browns. They beat the Colts. They did beat the Jets twice. Jets do have a winning record. Jets are a pretty decent football team this year. But outside of that, you played Miami and lost. You played the Ravens and lost. Minnesota beat you. Buffalo beat you. And you also got rolled at home by the Chicago Bears. And you didn't. And that's the biggest indictment, Alan.
Yep.
The biggest indictment, because that Bears defense stinks.
Yes.
They have stunk against everyone except the Patriots. And for some reason, they shut down this offense. That's the game tape that shows you everything you need to know about this offensive coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, that game, you know, does reveal a lot about them, especially when you consider the Bears traded away their two best defensive players, and it still didn't matter. I will say this. If the Jets got a modicum of quality quarterback play, they could be 4-8.
No doubt.
Right? Like if
no doubt.
The second game was a gimme, and the Jets couldn't get, what, they got 2 yards in the second half? That game was, and it took a ridiculous wind-blown punt return for a touchdown to win that game. So really, when you look at it, they could be 4-8, they could be 5-7. They could be under 500, which for Belichick, not making the playoffs and being under 500, I don't know, I'd have to look back and see, but I don't think he's done that often, if ever, after, of course, Tom Brady.
I mean, no,
I'm talking about when Tom Brady arrived, is what I should say. So where are they and where are they going? From what Twellman said, it's like this. I wonder if that's the concern in New England. It's not necessarily, all right, it's life without Brady. You knew it wasn't going to be easy. They're seeing it in Pittsburgh as well. Life without Ben Roethlisberger. You know, it's, you knew the after was never going to be easy. Only Green Bay could go from a Hall of Famer to a Hall of Famer. You just don't see that. But that purgatory that he talks about is life after an all-time graded quarterback. I mean, look at New Orleans after Drew Brees. What are they? What's their future? They don't know at that position. They don't know. It's a scary place to be. And so I guess that's the question to ask is, what is the future of the Patriots? And, of course, is Mac Jones the answer? Think about this year. Like, is it Mac Jones, or is it, as you mentioned, you heard also Twelman mention it, it's Matt Patricia, a defensive coordinator, running an offense. Joe Judge, who's only been a special teams coordinator, then was head coach of the Giants, and a disaster that was. He's also part of the play calling on offense. Bill Belichick made these decisions. And the Patriots, as a result, they're 31st in the red zone, 25th in third down conversions, 27th in first downs gained per game. I mean, this is a problem when your offense is, okay, well, we have a pretty good running game, but you can never get yards when you need them. Is it all on Mac Jones, or is it on coaching? Which we've never asked the question of coaching in New England in the past 20 years, but we're going to now, aren't we?
Coaching, and I'd also throw in player evaluation. Alan, when's the last time the Patriots had a good wide receiver? Think about that for a second. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but think about that for a second. This is a league.
Julian Edelman, you know, like you got, those are the guys that were the reliable ones in the past for Tom Brady.
So Edelman's a few years ago, right, retires. Yeah. They haven't had anyone good since. And even with Edelman, they never really paired him up with anyone all that great. And then you go back to Welker and Moss. We're in an era now where you need elite wide receivers or an elite quarterback who's going to make average receivers look good. And mm-hmm. they don't have that. They have not evaluated their team well for years. The entire offense has had issues. The offensive line's been banged up. They don't have any big play weapons anywhere on the field. And then defensively, we always hear about how all the metrics point to this being an elite defense. Well, yeah, if you blank the Lions and you hold the Colts to 3 points and you hold the Jets to 3 points and the Steelers to 14, the numbers are going to look good. But what about the 37 Baltimore hung on you, or the 27 a lousy Green Bay team put on you, or the 33 that Chicago put on you, or the 33 that Minnesota put on you? Those are the games to look at. I don't care if you can limit a really bad team like the Colts. What do you do defensively against good teams? And what they're showing us is that they get rolled.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. That's Getting It Done, brought to you by Grainger. It's really the Bills that got it done. Who's not getting it done is the Patriots in that offense. Getting It Done, brought to you by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Granger's always there to help. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. There's something that Mac Jones said during the game, and then, of course, after the game, explained himself when he was talking about how angry he was. The frustration that boiled over him on the sidelines, the cameras caught, where he was begging them to let me throw the ball, that the quick game is not working, and why did he lose it like he did? We'll get into the Mac Jones side of things, but first, let's grab a call here, and let's go to some news from Barton Hahn Nation. We've got Jerry in Jacksonville hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. What's up, Jerry? Jerry? Got a delay. You can hear us, right? You can hear the show in the background.
That's again,
all right, Jerry's got to call back. All right, meanwhile, so let's just get to the other side of it, which is the Mac Jones part of this. Last year, Joe, Mac Jones had a, like, you could argue among the rookie quarterbacks that were taken that in the first round of that draft, he had the most successful season of them, easily. He got to the playoffs, and everybody thought that they find, you know, the quarterback of the future. Now, Rob Ninkovich, of course, is somebody that is another guy with Patriot blood running through his veins. And on KJM, he had some concerns about Mac Jones, but not necessarily because of what Mac Jones is doing, but what's happening around him.
I think they're putting him in a really bad spot. They're a really bad spot. And I like the fact that he came off on the sidelines and saying what he was saying. And you know, if you're reading his lips, what he's saying, because everyone there, I was at the game. They have to be better than this because it's so bad. And you're watching the game, and as a fan, if you're sitting there, the booing and the just the lack of offense that looks anything like the Bills. The Bills come on the field, easily march down the field, run the ball, balance, score touchdowns, your quarterback looks great, good receivers. The Patriots come on the field, ew.
That's his official analysis. Ew. Best way to describe what the Patriots offense has looked like. But, you know, the idea of setting him up for failure is the lack of weapons around him, the lack, I think, of having – he's a young quarterback still, and you've got two guys that are part of this offense, and we were saying this from the very beginning. When it was announced that Joe Judge and Matt Patricia were going to be on the offensive side of the football, that they weren't going to replace Josh McDaniel. And we kept wondering, like, how is this going to work? Well, we're seeing. The answer is it's not. And so that's when you see the outburst that you heard Ninko talk about, that Mac Jones, you know, is letting out his frustrations on the sideline with Matt Patricia and the play calling. Mac Jones, after the game, did explain what was going on.
Obviously, just kind of let my emotions get to me, but, you know, we're kind of playing from behind. And what I said was about throwing it deeper in the short game. You know, I got to execute that part better, but it's the short game that we kept going to, which is working. But I felt like we needed chunk plays, and, you know, I shouted that out to kind of get everyone going. And that's emotional. That's football. I'm passionate about this game, and obviously you don't want to get your emotions, that, you know, get the best of you. But, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Like, it wasn't directed at anybody, just emotion coming out, and we kind of needed a spark.
And Joe, I don't have a problem with him doing it either. I think it shows some leadership, but it also shows that he's invested, he cares, and he was not happy with the way things were going in this game at the play calling.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. You want to see the guys compete, right? You want to see him win. He's out there. They want to try to find a way to get something done. It's not working out. There's frustration. That's normal. Everybody has that. You have frustration with your kids, with your job, with traffic. Everybody goes through it. So I like to see the passion there. But also, what you're seeing him say probably highlights frustrations that aren't just happening in that moment. They're frustrations that are boiling over throughout the course of the season. The inability to move the ball down the field with consistency. I mean, Mac has at least an idea of what it looks like to run a competent offense because he did it last year. Mm-hmm. But McDaniels leaves. You make an adjustment to the play callers. And when you launch two guys in there that haven't really ever been offensive coordinators before, you're going to put that in the spotlight. Like, when they announced what the coordinator situation was going to be for New England before the year started, we started asking questions immediately, right? Like, when Nathaniel Hackett got the job in Denver, a lot of people were like, okay, offensive mind from what? Was it Green Bay? Mm-hmm. He's coming down. All right, some of these young guys.
He never called plays before, but at least you thought he was with Aaron Rodgers. He's got LaFleur. Osmosis alone must make him somebody that would be competent. That's another story altogether. But you're right. It just didn't make sense. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Daily Wagers, Joe Fortenbaugh joining us here on the show today. Let's see if we can get Gary in Jacksonville back in the fold. Gary, are you with us now?
Hello.
Yes, Gary, how are you?
I'm sorry, guys. I couldn't hear you before when you went to me. There was nothing on my end.
All good.
I got a message for Bart Scott in case he's listening. Oh, yes, my Dolphins win the AFC East. The Bills are a wild card, and the Jets, they're on the outside looking in.
Wow. Gary feels like, Gary, off of last night's game, you still feel like, he just wanted to leave that. See, Bart has been crushing the Dolphins the last couple of days here, and a lot of Dolphins fans have been in their feelings about it, which I understand. The next couple of weeks for Miami, those are good. They're make or break games. You're going to know. What are they? You're going to know. But I don't know if I'm getting out of Bills Patriots last night that the Bills look like they're getting right. Jadavious White is back. Von Miller, I know. They miss him, no doubt about it. But did you watch Josh Allen? Did he look a little bit more focused, a little bit more like locked in? That throw on the sideline, by the way, to Gabe Davis, where he's like literally toe tapping the sideline and made that the second quarter made that incredible touchdown throw. Like, does he look like a guy that is trending down, or do they look like a team that, all right, this was like a get right game for them?
See, this is the beauty of being a great team like the Bills. You have guys like us that have spent some time questioning whether or not there are issues, questioning whether or not there are problems. Can they go the distance? They've won 7 of 9 and they've won 3 straight. Like each week, and I'm guilty of this too, because I've been betting against them, but each week it's like, oh, this Cleveland game, I don't know. Cleveland could catch them. Allen's battling an injury. They win by 8. I don't know about Detroit. You know, it's the back-to-back in Detroit. It's Thanksgiving. They find a way to get it done by 3. Last night, similar situation. You got to go to New England, third road game in 12 days. I don't know about the situation. Boom, they win by 2 touchdowns. Like they've been, this is what good teams do. They don't always look great, but they find ways to win. And while it hasn't been pretty for the Bills, it damn sure has been effective.
Let's take Mark in Toronto. What's happening, Mark?
Hi, how are you today? Good. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I've been a Patriots fan for many, many years. And, you know, when Robert Kraft bought the team, he bought the team because they were so bad, and he was a fan, and he was tired of mediocrity. I question Bill Belichick. We always used to have this thing, and Bill we trust. He'll always find a way to get it done. But when he didn't name an offensive coordinator when Josh moved on to Las Vegas, it was obvious to me and everyone around us that the logical guy to have brought to New England was Bill O'Brien. Hmm. Because not only had Bill O'Brien been there before, he was the guy who was Mac Jones' offensive coordinator at Alabama. So what a better slot to have. Okay, Josh is gone. He was very responsible for developing Mac Jones last year. They had a productive offense, like you guys pointed out. They're scoring 27 points a game. So the natural guy was to go get Bill O'Brien back from Alabama because he had coached Mac Jones. What a better situation. Now you put the offense in the hands of these two guys. No offense. I mean, Matt Patricia was great when he was the defensive coordinator, but as you guys have pointed out, neither of these guys called plays. And in all respects, everyone thought, okay, Belichick, he's a coach. He'll know how to call it. It's a disaster. And the other disaster is when you have your two kids running the defense. You never hire someone you can't fire in business.
Yeah, that is. I mean, you can obviously see that part of it, too, the nepotism that happened on that side of it. But the O'Brien thing's interesting, though, Joe, because, I mean, he clearly wants – I saw Albert Breer reporting this, that he wants to come back to the NFL.
Yep.
So you got to feel like – after this season, that's got to be something they look into.
What is this, a coincidence that disaster takes place last night? Right around the same time, there's a report that he's interested in coming back to the NFL. Mm-hmm. I don't really believe in that. Now, maybe it is a coincidence, but I don't believe in that at all. But there's one thing that's for certain. Belichick at 70 years old, look at the roster, look at your division. What's it going to be? Minor tweaks are not going to put this back on track. You're going to need to overhaul the coaching staff. You're going to need to start to overhaul the roster because the Bills aren't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins look for real, and the Jets continue to get better. You right now are trending worse than anybody in that division, and that's something everybody else in that division has been looking forward to for a long, long time.
Absolutely true. They've been waiting for this, and now you're not being able to keep up. After dominating this division for so many years, you're having a hard time keeping up with the other three teams. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, as we will continue with your calls as we are underway now in week 13. December football is with us right now, and it's just the beginning. Of course, we have some other big matchups coming up. You talk about some big games. December football always brings them. We will get into those matchups and your calls as well. But first, let me tell you about LinkedIn. Because these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available, and that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. Creating a free job post on LinkedIn Jobs is simple, easy, it takes just minutes, and then add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Bart. That's linkedin.com/Bart to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
I don't know if it means more. I think you got to keep stuff in perspective. It's a brand new football season. Obviously, anytime that someone beats you the year before, you want to beat them, especially in a game like they beat us in to go to the Super Bowl.
We're really confident in ourselves. You know, we feel like we can beat any team in the league, and we've proven that. So we're not going to go out and be scared of anybody. We're going to go out and play our game.
Let's do it. Mano a mano. I mean, it's the quarterback era, the new quarterback era. And there you hear from Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow. They will go head-to-head in one of several big games in December football, week 13 on Sunday. It's Bart and Han, Joe Fortenbaugh from Daily Wager joining us here today, hanging out with us, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, we want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, Joe, let's start with that game then, shall we? Because that is, you know, again, it's, you talk about, you know, Star Wars. I mean, you got two of the most compelling young quarterbacks. I guess every time Mahomes has a game, it feels like he's going up against someone else, and we're like, how do you rank? He's become the standard, has he not, of the next generation? I mean, TB12, obviously, you got, you know, A-Rod. They're still in the league, so they're always going to be at that GOAT status. Like, they're the ones that walk in the club, and it's like, you don't need to wait. Right away, it's like, you know, oh, Mr. Brady, we have your table waiting for you. And there could be, like, you and I could be sitting at that table. And they're like, gentlemen, we're going to move you to a different table. Why is that? We need this table right now. It was unexpected. Alley? Yeah, all of a sudden, we're moved somewhere else. But Mahomes is sort of, I think, he sets the standard now for his generation and every young quarterback coming in now. And so when he and another young quarterback go head-to-head, it's usually a big story. But Joe Burrow has gotten the better of him the last couple of times, team versus team. What do you think about just looking at this game and where I think Cincinnati has really come on after a slow start, and the division is right there for them to win?
I love the fact that Cincinnati looks like they're going to be healthy for this game, because I hate when matchups like this take place
when
you're missing several key players and you really don't get the litmus test for how the two stack up against each other.
Right.
Kansas City's coming in healthy. They're ready to go. They looked like they sleptwalked last week through the Rams game. Fine. They were probably looking ahead to this game. Nothing wrong with that. They still handled their business. Now here's Cincinnati. Very physical encounter with Tennessee last week. How is that going to affect the body coming into this game? But with Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon and DJ Reader looking like they're going to play, I'm kind of surprised that Cincinnati's sitting there as a 2.5-point dog. You go back to last season offensively, the Bengals are just as good as they were last year. Defensively, they've taken a couple small steps forward. They're at home. They beat this team twice last year. Kansas City, they lose Tyreek Hill. The offensive numbers are still through the roof. Will the defense be able to get the push up front? Will the defense be able to take advantage of Cincinnati's big weak spot, which is the offensive line? The one thing, Alan, and I wonder, do you even believe in this? A lot of people look to Kansas City because they say it's the big revenge spot, right? Well, the implication is that if it's a revenge game, you're going to get up. There's going to be a little bit more juice. You don't think Cincinnati's going to have the same amount of juice for this game?
Of course they will. I mean, here's a great way to put it. Ryan Clark from Get Up today. It's a perfect way to put this matchup.
If you're the Cincinnati Bengals, you're the team that needs this game to the most, just based on where you are in the playoff picture and your outcome or your outlook on trying to win the AFC North. Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs right now are the cream of the AFC. I think the Kansas City Chiefs want to win this game as badly as they've wanted to win any single football game this entire season. Even in talking a little bit to Travis Kelce. He said how important this game is and how bad he needs to go out and lead this team and play well throughout this week. And I believe the Kansas City Chiefs want to win it as badly as any game, but the Cincinnati Bengals have to win it in order to keep pace with this team and keep the pressure on them to know that when you come to Cincinnati or when you play Cincinnati and you're the Chiefs, it's going to be a tough time to get a W.
I think that's the best way to put it. Is the Chiefs, of course, they want to win, right? And actually, if you think about it, you could argue they need to win. Buffalo just won. All right, the Dolphins have a matchup here. If you want the number one seed of the AFC, you've got to make sure that you stay ahead. And so a loss would put them all even if we do have the Bills win already and then obviously see what the Dolphins do. So, yeah, the Chiefs need to win. But I think there's a greater need for the Bengals to win this game. They have the tougher schedule to finish. The Ravens do not. The Ravens' schedule is a lot softer than, in comparison to Cincinnati's. And as you know, you say you want to win that division. You want to get the best possible matchups, the bye or whatever you can going into the postseason. So this is one of the many intriguing matchups that we have that will have some implications for this weekend. We've got more of course to get to. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We, of course, will continue with some of the more intriguing games in the NFL. Week 13 coming up here in just a moment. But first, let me talk about Grainger, because for all the ones who get it done, Grainger's here to help you. They're always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, along with 24/7 support, experienced staff, and curbside pickup at over 250 local branches. And you can get free access to product specialists ready to help you track down hard-to-find items. Plus, Grainger's commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Hey, it's Max Kellerman from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. They told us we can give you guys anything we wanted. So what does everyone want? We're giving you cash.
You want to talk about money?
We're giving away $10,000 a day, and all you have to do is listen for your chance to win.
Your chance to win. Weekday mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn. We've got Joe Fortenbaugh hanging out with us today from Daily Wager, talking some NFL with you. Week 13 underway, and the Bills come away with, how would you describe it, Joe? Would you say it's like a methodical 24-10 win over the Patriots? Methodical?
Yeah, they completely broke them down. The entire strategy for New England was going to be to run the ball, shorten the game, keep it tight, and try to make a play late. You want to run the ball so you can keep Josh Allen and the offense off the field. And the second Buffalo had 17 on the board, which was relatively early, you realize that game was done. New England's not going to be able to get off that script and get into a shootout. Buffalo put it on them.
Yeah, it's just and almost like watching it, you know, from two perspectives. One, from the Patriots, and I mean, I've been to Foxborough a million times. That place, the only roars you heard was when Buffalo did something good. They had, of course, Bills Mafia showed up, and it just felt like something, like there was no soul left. And so it's leaving a lot of people in New England wondering, well, you know, what's the future for this team? And again, it's not really pointing fingers at Mac Jones, although he pointed the thumb at himself. Zach Wilson, pay attention. But it's more or less, you know, Bill Belichick and some decisions he made with his coaching staff. Herm Edwards is going to join us in about 12 minutes, and we'll talk with him about what's happening there on a coaching level in New England. But in the meantime, Joe and I are going to continue to go through what we have now. And December football is underway in week 13 now as we look forward to Sunday's games and a couple of other good matchups. As we went through already, the first one, which is Chiefs-Bengals, and we know that's just a battle of two star young quarterbacks head-to-head and two teams that both really need the win, but who needs it more? We argue it's Cincinnati. How about this game? The Dolphins at the 49ers, Joe. And I bring it up because, and we got a lot of calls from Dolphins fans, Bart Scott has said throughout this week consistently that he feels like this is the beginning of where it starts to trend down for the Dolphins because their schedule over the next couple of weeks gets very difficult. And it's a lot of travel. They're going there. Then they'll be in L.A. the next week. And the cold weather is
Buffalo.
Buffalo. Right. So they head up to Buffalo. And he feels like this could be make or break for their season. And he's betting against them. He feels like they are going to fall out at this point. What do you see in this game?
Two key factors. And if you can figure out the answers to these questions, you're going to understand who's going to win this game. So I'll throw it right back to you. Number one, is the San Francisco defense as good as everyone believes it is? Here's what I mean by that. The metrics all point to this being an elite unit. We saw them blank the Saints last week. Take note that in 11 games played this season, the Niners have faced two offenses that have ranked in the top 12 in scoring. They faced Seattle, who they beat, and they faced Kansas City, who came onto their turf and blew them out of their own building. Mm-hmm. So their defense has done a great job against a lot of average to well below average teams. That is not Miami. Handicap number two, Kyle Shanahan has absolutely owned the coaches who have come out of the Mike Shanahan tree. Kyle was with Sean McVay in Washington. He owns him. Don't tell me about the NFC Championship game. McVay won one, and it was the biggest one. I get it. But he's lost all the other ones. All right? All of them. He owns Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. He has kicked his butt at every single turn. Mike McDaniel is a part of that family. Mike McDaniel coached under Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco last year. So does Shanny know what McDaniel wants to do and he'll be able to shut him down? Or does McDaniel have an advantage knowing Garoppolo's weaknesses and having been a part of that system last year?
That is also, you know, the way to look at it. You look at trends, you look at history and all that stuff and matchups, and that's where I was going to go with it, is that Kyle Shanahan just seems to have, you know, that power over guys who have gone through that system. But I was looking at more just the points against, and I was looking at the Niners as a team that just doesn't give up a lot of offense. But what I wonder about this game is how Miami, because of their offense and the potential for the, you know, how explosive it can be, is they're never out of it. So how much does the 49ers control the game? Because they can. You know, because they have, I mean, obviously CMC, you know, they have Debo. They have so many different ways to beat you, and they can also dominate time possession. And so that's the other, keeping the Dolphins offense off the field might be your best defense in this game. So how, you know, how that comes to play. But it's, these are big games. The other one I want to talk to you about as well is, you know, the Eagles hosting the Titans. And now I know it's AFC, NFC, so the implications are a little different. But once again, the Eagles rolling along at 10-1, want to capture that number one seed in the NFC. And they run the ball. And the Titans obviously have to run the ball. That's all they are. They're King Henry. And they also at 7-4, not worried about their division, but just want to keep climbing. What are you seeing in a game like this as, you know, the top seed in the AFC, you know, is sitting there with several teams, including the team we just talked about, the Dolphins, in play?
So this is your red alert game of the week. Philly open is alert. a seven-point favorite. It's now down to 4.5. It's been nothing but Titans money, and here's why. This is a bad matchup for the Eagles. The two things the Eagles are known for, number one rushing offense in the NFL, number one team in terms of first half scoring. Guess what? Tennessee's the number one run defense in the NFL, and they're number two in first half scoring defense. They can neutralize what Philadelphia does well. Conversely, Tennessee can run the ball with Derrick Henry. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Philly's Achilles heel is its run defense. Tennessee is going to make a mess of this game, and whether or not Philly emerges on the other side come the fourth quarter, that's going to be the compelling storyline, because I do not see this being a blowout. This game is going to be tight.
Yeah, it's going to be a grinder, and that run defense that has been tested by several teams over the last couple of weeks will continue to be tested. Jordan Davis, who knew it was going to be such a big loss. So what would Herm Edwards say about the Patriots' coaching structure and what needs to be changed? He's going to join us next to discuss. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.